On today's episode of Maize and Blue Corner, we welcome Justin Wooten back on the show. We also go through where Michigan basketball and football should be ranked preseason, talk about what Michigan documentary we would like to see made, and answer a bunch more of your questions as well. We also do a top three of the week, which is top three favorite candy. Enjoy the show.
Yep. And we back.
Welcome to episode 10 of Maize and Blue Corner. That's right, we've made it into double digits. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you're listening to this right now, we have a small favor to ask. Stop what you're doing and hit the follow or subscribe button on whatever platform you're listening on. Also, if you're listening on Apple, leave us a 5-star rating. Subscriptions and reviews not only let us know that people are listening, but it also helps us figure out where our podcast is ranked and stuff like that. We have a pretty simple show for y'all today. We're going to answer a bunch of voicemail questions and mailbag questions. Then we're going to get into our top three of the week. I did also want to mention really quickly that we are moving back to only one episode a week for the foreseeable future, most likely until football season is here. We don't want to cram in unnecessary content just to fill additional episodes every week, so we're going to go back to one per week. But we do have big plans for football season. We're going to be going back to two episodes per week then. We'll most likely have a preview show and a recap episode every week. And then obviously we'll sprinkle plenty of other stuff on it as well. We're also going to start up a weekly recruiting update pretty soon once I find the right person to fill the role for that. We are recording this episode on Wednesday, June 10th. I am your host today, as always, Max, aka Wolverine Corner. Joining me today is Ryan and Jacob from UM versus Everyone. And we do have a fill-in today for Ben Cooper, who was unable to record with us today. Justin Wooten, Mr. Meta Wooten Peace, is in the pod with us today. Justin, how are you doing?
I'm good. You can just admit that I'm only on here to talk about the protests, though.
I mean, did you want to talk about that?
No, I don't want to do that.
I mean, if you want to, you can touch on it. But anyways, we're happy to have Justin on here. He's officially a reoccurring guest now. He's our first. I mean, you're not really a guest. You're kind of just... Justin's our fill-in. Ben let us know, like, last minute that he couldn't record, so... Yeah, so we're happy to have him on here. Ryan and Jacob, you guys doing good today?
I'm all right.
Yeah, I'm
Riley's all right.
Okay, enough of the chit chat. We are going to get right into the mailbag questions today. It's a pretty simple episode. We just have a bunch of mailbag questions we're going to answer, and then we have our top three of the week as well, which is top three favorite candy. But we'll get into that later. The first question, we actually have a voicemail question. This is from Gino and Nico of the Fantasy Incline Pod. So here's their voicemail question.
Hey guys, it's your boys from the Fantasy Incline Podcast, Gino and Nico. Check us out on YouTube. But we have a mailbag question for you guys.
Yeah, so our question is, which Detroit sports team do you think is going to win a championship first?
And as a little bit of a bonus, after you answer that, how long do you think it's going to take? Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the question. And honestly, this is a question with no really good answer, in my opinion, because as you may know, all of Detroit sports are kind of bad right now. So I'm going to just go with my gut, and I'm going to say that the Tigers are going to win next, because just if you look at the farm system, it's in a really good state, in my opinion. Like, they've got a lot of pitching depth. They got a lot of good hitters down there, like Riley Green, Isaac Paredes. I just think that their farm system is going to, sooner or later, they're going to come up to the major leagues, and I'm pretty sure that they're going to end up winning before any other team does. Because if you think about Detroit, the Pistons, the last time they won a championship, I believe, was 04, and that team was like a one-in-a-million team, in my opinion, because of how well they worked together and whatnot. I don't really think that we're going to see a replication of that, because, like, in this year's NBA, you need a super team to win, and I don't really see Detroit pulling any huge free agents together like that. So they're going to have to draft for it, and they have not had very good success in the draft. Like, as you may know, Darko Milicic, that type of stuff.
That was a good
pick. I don't think that they're going to end up winning first. So, and the Lions have a lot of work cut out for them. They had a good draft this year, and I was somewhat surprised about that, which should tell you the state of their program right now. But I would not expect the same type of success in the draft that they had this year, so that's just why I'm going to pick the Tigers in this one.
I don't know if the Red Wings are... It's the Lions. You don't have to explain why the Lions won't win a championship first.
I gotta say I don't know very much about the Red Wings. I watch them a little bit. I'm just not a big hockey guy, so I know that they're not very good right now, and I know that they haven't been good for the past few years. So I'm just gonna go ahead and go with my gut instead of Tigers.
Justin, what are you thinking?
Justin,
I'm thinking the
he's a newbie. Let's give him a break.
I think the Red Wings. I think the Red Wings are the only Detroit team that I think will have any shot of winning another championship in my lifetime. The Lions, for obvious reasons. I think the biggest reason that the Red Wings will is that they have Steve Yzerman as GM. He's proven to be a great GM. He clearly, you know, loves Detroit, loves the Red Wings. The Red Wings have by far been the most successful franchise in Detroit, so I have a hard time not picking the Red Wings.
That's a good point.
All right, yeah, I'm going to agree and say the Red Wings, Yzerman, iconic. You know, everyone in Detroit knows who Stevie I is, so that's my pick. Because I mean, they're in tank mode right now. They're by far the worst team in the NHL. Just hope the ping pong balls go the right way and they possibly win the lottery. You know, get these high draft selections and hope these selections build up. The Tigers, I will never trust Avila as a general manager. Just, I don't think with all these bloated contracts that they have for the foreseeable future, it's just not going to work. Lions are obvious reasons, and the Pistons, I just don't think so, because they're kind of stuck in the limbo. They're not good, so they can't make the playoffs, but they're not bad enough where I think they'll like win the first pick. And because I said that, they might win the lottery now, so you're welcome.
I mean, it's possible this year.
All right, so
like 10% chance of winning the lottery. I think it is, but
it's better than nothing.
So I have the Red Wings as well. I think they finally have the right GM. Hopefully they're going to have the right coach soon, because they definitely don't have the right coach right now. So I have the Red Wings as well. Obviously, three of the four Detroit teams are kind of – well, two of the four are currently rebuilding in the Red Wings and the Tigers. I think the Pistons are going to commit to a full-blown, you know, rebuild here soon too. So you're going to have three teams that are basically in full rebuild mode. So as much as I want to pick the Lions – and I think the Lions, if the whole Matt Patricia project works out, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say I would be shocked if, you know, in 4 years down the road, you know, maybe the Lions could pick off a Super Bowl. But as it sits right now, I would say that the Red Wings are in the best position probably to win Detroit's first title in what feels like forever. So good question from Gino and Nico. We appreciate it. Moving on to mailbag questions this time. This one is from Ryan Krause. He said, would you rather try and tackle Zach Charbonnet with no pads on or get tackled by Cam McGrone while wearing full pads? We're not all going to answer this one. We'll just have Justin and Jacob answer. Justin, what do you think?
I think definitely I'd rather try and tackle Charbonnet with no pads on. I just think getting tackled by Cam McGrone with pads on would just be so fucking painful.
Like what?
It's so like I don't know if I'd be able to get up in 10 seconds afterwards. I'm definitely trying to tackle Charbonnet.
All right, well, this sort of depends on the situation. Is Charbonnet in like full speed coming at me and I have to tackle him?
Yeah, like, let's say Charbonnet is like full just, speed and you're hitting the hole, right, and he's
and with the,
hole.
The and with Cam McGrone, am I just standing there and he's tackling me? Like that type of thing?
I feel like you're taking this question extremely.
Yeah, you know what? I'm just gonna say I'd rather get tackled like because you have pads on. If you are not wearing I think Justin is underestimating how exactly protective these pads are.
Yeah, but the problem is that
you would die.
You don't really have pads for your legs.
There are pads for your legs.
I mean, it's not great.
These knee pads. Well, I'd rather get tackled by Cam McGrone, because that's I mean, Charbonneau would absolutely truck me. I'd rather just like brace for that impact.
I interpreted the question as Cam McGrone is wearing pads.
Yes, not, for sure. He is.
Wearing pads.
Yeah, I'd still pick Cam McGrone. I'd rather get tackled by Cam McGrone.
Okay. Thank you, Ryan, for that question. We appreciate it. The next mailbag question is actually from Justin. This was before we knew he was plugging in to fill into the podcast today. He wanted to know what our top three favorite Mountain Dew flavors were. So Justin, since it's your own question, feel free to answer it.
Yeah, I think three. I don't know if you guys remember when they did Dew Nation and they had three. I'm sure you do, Max. They had Typhoon, Distortion, and then Whiteout eventually won, but they were all competing. You had to vote.
Yep.
So I really wanted Typhoon to win. I thought Typhoon was so good. Mm-hmm. So I put number three. And then two, I think I was going back and forth on this, but I actually have Voltage at two.
Oh, and, okay.
And then, of course, you got to have Baja Blast at one.
I love it. I'll start from three to one as well. Number three, I always see so many people shit on just original Mountain Dew Code Red, and it pisses me off so much because, I swear to God, that was my childhood. The amount of, I don't know how I didn't get, diabetes from the amount of Code Red Mountain Dew I drank as a kid. I mean, it was stupid. So Code Red is my number three. Number two, Justin, you remember Livewire?
Yeah.
I love
is that the orange one?
Yeah, it's the orange one. I went through this phase 3 years, or it was probably 4 years ago now, where I drank a shitload of Livewire. It was so good. And then obviously number one, I have Baja Blast as well. I'm actually currently drinking a Baja Blast. So if any of the executives from Mountain Dew or Taco Bell are listening, feel free to sponsor the pod.
So there were two ways to interpret this question, because at the beginning I thought that we weren't supposed to have Baja Blast, but so I'm giving honorable mention to Code Red because I think that it's just so overhated and underrated at the same time. I love it.
Totally
agree. My number three is one that nobody's used so far. Mine's actually Pitch Black, which is just a flavor that is just, to me, it's underrated a lot. I know that they changed it over the years, so it's a bit different than what it was at the beginning, but I still like it. My number two would be Baja Blast. Baja, I get it every time I go to Taco Bell, and if you listen to previous pods, I put it on my top three items to get from fast food. And my number one is going to be Voltage, which I had a really hard time putting Voltage and Baja in the one and two positions because I didn't know which one was going to go where. I've just drank Voltage more in my past, so I'm going to go ahead and go with that.
Jacob, what do you think?
I don't drink pop. I've never heard of any of these except you guys talking about Baja Blast constantly.
So I know we've talked about it on the pod before. Just go ahead and explain again for anybody who hasn't listened. What's your gripe against pop?
I don't like the fizz. I don't like carbonated. I just don't like carbonated beverages.
So if the fizz is simmered down, if you shake up a pop a little bit and you drink it, is it better then or is it still off?
I just don't like pop. It's just.
What about you open it and then have it sit in the fridge for 2 days? God.
That makes me cringe, dude. Oh, my God.
I've had flat pop before. It just tastes weird too.
I used to work with this lady.
I remember I had a flat Dr. Pepper once. It tasted like barbecue flavored water.
What? It was what?
I literally cannot wait to clip that soundbite out.
It tasted tomorrow. Like barbecue. I swear to God, it was like, what did I just drink?
Barbecue flavored water. You have to tweet that out later. It'd be like, the flat Dr. Pepper tastes like barbecue flavored water.
So yeah, I just simply dislike it. So I have a. My top three is just no.
I used to work with this lady who hated the fizz as well. And she would have me whenever we'd go to the gas station or something, she'd have me pick up a Sprite and she would just open it and then close it and then just shake it up for 2 minutes before she would drink it. I don't understand why. Like it why are you drinking pop if you don't like fizz? So that never made any sense to me. But I mean, at least, I don't know. I now I'm never going to drink Dr. Pepper again without thinking of barbecue flavored water. So also, you're have you welcome. Guys noticed how much more efficiently we're getting through the questions here without Ben's like we're not constantly arguing with
well,
Ben.
Now you're lengthening it by just like,
well,
by listen, doing this.
We've made it through three questions in like 10 minutes. That's pretty good.
All right. Well,
all right. Slow things down, boys.
Hey, Jacob, you in a hurry?
No, I'm just saying. You're like, oh, we're being quick.
We are being quick. All right. Number four, mailbag question from Rob. I just put Rob. I don't remember his ad. It was something stupid that I couldn't pronounce. So, Rob, if you're listening, change your at, please. he asked, which Michigan season would you like to see get a Last Dance-esque documentary? I'll take this over. I didn't like the question, because I hated how it just like limited it to one season. Yes, the Last Dance focused around that last season, but it also had like so many flat. I mean, it basically covered MJ's whole career. So I don't want a documentary on one specific season. So I just put like the entire John Beilein era. Like, if there was a documentary to show where the program was at when he took over, and then just the two Final Four runs, the Big Ten championships, and then, you know, to show where it was at when he left, I think that would be like an incredible documentary of just to just showcase the entire, you know, 12 years that he was there. I think that would be really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, for one season, I'd pick a 97 football. I mean, it's the last national championship. It was, I mean, Charles Woodson. I mean, it was a good year. Didn't they have like the hardest schedule in the nation that year? I don't know. It was like before I was actually born, so my knowledge may be limited to compared to many other fans who were around back then. But yeah, I mean, it seems pretty simple to me. 97.
So I would
another play too, by the way.
I would probably say the same generally, but I'm trying to go with a less cliche answer, maybe one that doesn't win a national championship. So I'm going to go with either 2012-13 Michigan basketball, because just that team is just like, aside from the Fab Five, that team is just like one of Michigan's best teams, like overall. That is, and the fact that they didn't win a championship, I think that really like, and that it got vacated, I think that should be deserving of a documentary, and that's just my opinion. And also how like you have Beilein, you have Trey Burke, all this NBA level talent on the same team, just that, I think that deserves one. And if we're not going with basketball, I'm going to go ahead and say 2016 Michigan football. That's probably the best talented team that we've had in the last decade, maybe two decades at Michigan football. That may be a little bit of a stretch. But that would be
really, really fun though, because that season was so fun, and then you have like the heartbreak against all that would be a good document. I didn't even think of that, to be honest.
Just for so many reasons, I'd pick those two.
I think for me, I would actually pick the season after that. I think that was my favorite Michigan team, like regardless of any like either sport, the 13-14 basketball. Because there was so many like memorable moments from that season. Like you had like Stauskas blowing kisses to the Breslin Center. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Stauskas hitting that step back against Wisconsin. And then you had like ending Aaron Kraft's career. Like there were so many great moments. You had Glenn Robinson's buzzer beater in Mackey. Like there were so many great moments from that season, even though like they didn't get as far in the tournament and probably weren't as good as the 13 team. I still thought watching the 14 team was more fun.
I don't know, man. I think that it's kind of funny how Michigan fans seem to forget about, like, it's, we love that 13 team so much that it just feels like that 14 team was an afterthought. And it's insane to me. Like they should have been in another Final Four. You know, what happens if Mitch would have been healthy? And then what happens if obviously he didn't get suspended? That season was so much fun. I mean, that had sophomore year Stauskas was just, he was unbelievable. So, oh, he was I, so- I, Yeah, I kind of wish Michigan fans talked about that season a little bit more, because really we were what is his name? Aaron Harrison or whatever. Yeah. Really we were that shot away from being in another Final Four. So that was a great year. I like that. I think everybody had really good answers. So I think have you guys seen that the Big Ten Network actually did a pretty good documentary on the 2012-2013 team? And it's like 45 minutes long. It's pretty good. But I just feel like if there was like a really well-produced one for either of those two seasons, that would be really fun. So moving on, this is another mailbag from Ryan Krause again. So his second question. Thank you, Ryan. He said, if Harbaugh wasn't a football coach, what would he be? I love this question. I don't know why. I just absolutely love this question. Justin, start us off.
All right. I think he would be like some involved with like WWE in some way or another. Either like he like right now he'd be like a retired like WWE wrestler who like do the intros or like would just announce, but while he was like in shape and like was, you know, in his 20s and 30s, I bet he would have been like a WWE wrestler, and him be so funny, like, and so awkward at the same time, like screaming into the mic and like screaming about attacking each day with the enthusiasm unknown to mankind. I just think like that would him be like the perfect job for him outside of football.
I love that answer. So I was not expecting
that beats my answer. I was being more realistic. I wasn't being fun. I was just thinking he'd be like a pastor or something.
Oh,
yes, okay. Being real. You know, he's a pretty religious dude. You know, he talks openly about his views on that. And, you know, he's always been pretty vocal about social issues. He went to the protest in Ann Arbor. So he's always been one to fight for. He's probably been the most vocal college football coach when it comes to the rights of the players. So, you know, he'd probably do something, you know, probably charitable or religiously charitable. So I'd say he'd most likely be a pastor.
So I have a serious answer and a joking answer as well. My serious answer is I just feel like he would be an educator of some sort, whether that be a teacher or something like that. I just feel like he has that passion for being involved and helping people and shaping, you know, student athletes and young men. So I feel like he would be involved some way in education. Non-serious answer, but kind of serious. I feel like he would be like the boat captain for like a crab fishing boat. Like, you guys ever seen like the Deadliest Catch? Like, I feel like he would just be like the captain. He would just be all up in his crew's face. He, you know, just waking up at 5 a.m., attacking each day with enthusiasm unknown to mankind. And he would just run some like incredibly good crab fishing boat. So like that's my joking but semi-serious answer.
So Max had one joking answer and one serious answer. Mine are both kind of joking. So my first one is just like, if you imagine that one parent at a little league game that's always yelling at the umpire, that's what I expect him to be. Just, I don't know why. Just
so hold on. So just like, a stay-at-home dad.
Not necessarily a stay-at-home dad. Just like, yeah, probably actually. But he goes to all like his son's games, and then like he gets called for a strikeout and like a questionable call, and then he'll just start yelling at the umpire and get ejected.
No, I can. That's see that.
The type of person I see that. My other one is this actually, I was just thinking of. I don't even remember how this came up. I think that it was Justin was talking about WWE, and then my mind just drifted, and I think that he would be a rapper.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how those have anything to do with each other, but I see him as, like, a Lil Jon-type rapper where he's just screaming into the mic the entire time. That's Lil just John. Me.
I think that's probably the first time Jim Harbaugh has ever been compared to Lil Jon.
Oh, that's man. Just what I see him as.
No, I really do love that question. I like questions like that. That just goofy. It makes us think a little bit. So nice question again from Ryan. Moving on, mailbag question from at Kriya Cole. He says, where do you expect Michigan football and basketball to be ranked preseason for next year? I'll start us off, and then we'll have Justin go. And if you guys want to list yours, feel free. Basketball, I think they'll be ranked around 20th. A lot of people don't think they'll be ranked. I think Juwan has gotten a lot of respect from a lot of people in the basketball world. Plus, they do return a ton of talent as well. Everybody always wants to talk about who they've lost. If they return Livers and Franz, that is an incredible duo to have on the wings. And DK from Michigan State Twitter, if you're listening, yes, Isaiah Livers is a wing. It's kind of, I don't know if you guys saw that. He was trying to.
What else would he be?
Well, he was trying to say that Isaiah Livers is not a wing, which makes
sense. He said he was like a stretch four.
Listen, it's ridiculous. Guess.
He plays small forward and power forward.
Yeah,
he's a wing.
He's a wing.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever
heard. It's not really a debate. He's like a wing.
Dude is a 6'7", 3-point shooter and a slasher. If that's not a wing, then I don't know what is. So, yeah, if they return both of them, I do expect them to be in the top 25 somewhere. I think they're going to have an interesting season next year. I think that they're going to I don't think they're going to fluctuate too much in the rankings. I think they're going to be kind of a consistent top 20 team throughout most of the season. I think that's when where they're going to start. As far as football goes, depending on what rankings, I mean, there's already a million preseason rankings out. You'll see Michigan anywhere from like 7 to 20. It just doesn't matter. I have them like right at 15 right now. I think they have a high ceiling. I don't think that they have a super low floor this year. So I think you're going to see them also spend most of the season in the top 15. If they crumble at the end of the season again, then you might see them drop a little bit. But this could definitely be a top 10 team for most of the season. So I say they would start out right around 15.
Yeah, I think for basketball, I think maybe if we're lucky, we'd be in the top 25. And I don't think that's like an indictment on the team or like how the team is constructed, but it seems just like almost no matter what, like Michigan basketball is always like right outside the top 25.
Yep.
like even the 19 team that had like just come off the national championship and had returned, you know, like Poole and Xavier Simpson and Livers and like a return, like half of their top eight, like, wasn't ranked at all at, going into the season. And then they, you know, they end up getting a 2 seed and like finishing in the top 10. So I think, you know, until I see that change, like they're not going to be ranked in the top 25. And as far as football goes, I think probably like in the like 15 to 20 range. I think, you know, relative to how like football is usually like the college football media is pretty down on Michigan this year going into it because they lost a few quality guys on defense and their quarterback and ended the season with the loss. It always seems like preseason football rankings are just like, do you return your quarterback and did you win your bowl game? Yeah. So it's definitely gonna be a lot lower than what Michigan is usually ranked. So I'll say like, yeah, so I'll say like 18. They'll be ranked like 18th.
Gotcha. Ryan or Jacob, any thoughts on those?
No.
I was going to actually put Michigan basketball a little bit higher, and then I listened to Justin, and I completely 100% agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to put them at like 15, and then he talked about how the media always puts them like really low, even when they shouldn't be. And so I completely agree with that after hearing that. Football,
you can go ahead.
I think that they're going to be around 15 the entire season. I don't think it's going to fluctuate much. I just think that's where they are. They're not like one of the elite teams this year, but they're also nothing to be like joked about. It's a good, solid team. I just don't think that they're up to the level of Clemson.
Yeah, and going back to Michigan's ranking, I agree with everything Justin said too, but I think we're going to start to see that narrative change a little bit. And a lot of preseason rankings too have to do with recruiting. Sure, we didn't land Todd, we didn't land Christopher, but Michigan did land a top 10, or the Michigan did have a top 10 class. They did have the best class in the Big Ten. So, you know, the voters who just kind of glance at that and say, oh, wow, Michigan, you know, they're bringing in 3 top 100 guys. Okay, they're returning Livers and Franz. I feel like this year is going to be a little bit different, and then I also just feel like Juwan, if he continues to recruit like the way we think he's going to recruit, I think that preseason narrative is going to change a little bit under him. I mean, Beilein had that reputation, right? Like, you know, it's going to take a while to get his teams going, but once his teams click at the end of the year, you know, Michigan's good. I don't think Juwan's going to have that same reputation, so I think their preseason ranking is going to kind of reflect that. Moving on here, this is a mailbag question from, this is actually our last one, mailbag question from at Hot Take Empire. He said, who are the three most overrated and underrated players of the Harbaugh era? We're not going to do three. We're each just going to name one, because we'll be here all day if we just all list three. So, Jacob, do you have an overrated player and an underrated player of the Harbaugh era?
I have an underrated player. Off the bat, I'd say Ronnie Bell probably is the most underrated one, I'd say. I mean, but going before last year, we all expected to have this big three of wide receivers of DPJ, Nico, and Tariq Black. And then it turned out to be Ronnie Bell, who was like our leading receiver. Mm-hmm. So like, and we didn't really talk about Ronnie enough. He's a returning piece that I think he could really give Nico a run for his money as the top option next year. Like, they're going to be both great receivers for Dylan or Joe to throw to. Now for the overrated part, this one was more tricky to me. Like, but I have a bad feeling whoever wins the starting job next year might earn that title.
Oof.
I have this weird feeling that they just might not be, like, we're hyping up because, like, we didn't like Shea. Not many people really like Shea that much, and we have all these nice high hopes that Dylan McCaffrey or Joe Milton will take us to the promised land. And I just do not think so. They're good quarterbacks, but I don't think they're great quarterbacks, and Michigan needs a great quarterback to get over that hump of that is Ohio State. And I don't know that's just what I'm going to say.
All right. So I'll take this next one. This was tough for me because I think I hate calling players overrated, right? Like, that's not, I try so hard to not like shit on current or past Michigan players. But this one, I don't know. It's probably unfair to call him overrated because of injuries, but I'm going to go with Tariq Black. I know that he was his freshman season when he broke out and he had that really good start before he got hurt. Like, I get it. He had a high ceiling. But I think injuries are also a part of being overrated or underrated. And I don't think that we can just say, oh, well, he was hurt. You know, he never lived up to the hype. Well, I think that's part of it. So for my overrated, I'm going to go with Tariq Black. And plus, the lasting memory that a lot of Michigan fans are going to have with him is his social media antics and his lack of effort in that one play against Ohio State. He didn't seem like he wanted to be at Michigan, so I hope that he fits in better at Texas down there. Because Texas is back. We know Texas is back. So I think he'll fit in good down there. But yeah, I'm gonna call him the Harbaugh or the overrated player of the Harbaugh era. As far as underrated, we talk about him a lot on here. But I don't know. Maybe this is a bad answer as well. But I'm gonna go with Mo Hurst. He just, like, Michigan fans recognize that he's like a top 10 player of the Harbaugh era easily, but I don't think he gets nearly enough credit that he deserves. I don't think he's a top 10 player of the Harbaugh era. I think he's a top three, maybe a top two player of the Harbaugh era. He's that good. So I think the fact that Michigan fans just kind of pass him over and they'll go right to, you know, Jabril or Jordan Lewis or any of these players, and they kind of skip over Hurst, I think that makes him a little bit underrated. Ryan, did you have a couple?
Yeah, so my overrated, so if you remember Donovan Peoples-Jones coming out of high school, he was supposed to be like the next big thing. I think that partially the reason why I'm going to call him a little bit overrated is because the system that he was in wasn't really toned to him. Like, this guy is like an uber athletic guy. He's like the most athletic dude I've ever seen. And he only gets like 600, 450 yards in both of his seasons.
Yeah.
I think that the amount of hype he had was unreal and that he just didn't live up to that, which is extremely hard to because the system. But if I have to call someone overrated, it's going to have to be him just because of how much hype there was around him. I think that if the system was different and he got thrown the ball more, I think that maybe he's not overrated. Maybe he's like one of the better receivers since Jeremy Gallen. That's just me. My underrated is Brandon Watson. Now, this is going to be a name that not very many people hear, but he's on an NFL team right now, if you remember him at all. But I feel like he was a scapegoat too often on the defense just because he had a few defensive lapses when he was here. But overall, he was not a bad defensive back. Like, mm-hmm. he was solid. He had, like, 3 interceptions, 8 pass defense or something like that, and, like, 30 tackles, which is pretty good for a cornerback. And I just think that he got way too much hate for being as solid as he was. That's just me.
No, I like that answer. That's a good one.
All right, so I think my underrated one, I think I would say Ryan Glasgow.
Nice.
He really was never talked about, but I would like argue he was like definitely a top 10 player of the Harbaugh era.
Mm-hmm.
He was almost as good as Mo Hurst. And if you remember from like the Harbaugh's first year, when he got hurt, like our defensive line just looked so bad. It was just, like, every time Ezekiel Elliott got the ball in the game, like it was like easy, like 10 yards up the middle or more for him. And that was in large part because both him and Mo Hurst were hurt that game. He did so much, and he just like never made any mistakes. So that's why I liked watching him a lot. I think he is an easy top 10 and even close to like a top 5 player of the Harbaugh era. I think he was that good. And then I got, like, I agree with Max. I hate calling players overrated, and I don't know if this is like someone that counts, but I think J.U. Chesson had like so much hype toward like the end of I think it would have been like his junior, like his redshirt junior, like whatever his second to last year was, because he had like that one really good Indiana game, and he had like a couple nice plays in the bowl game. But I just thought like he didn't really have like good hands at all. Like if you watch a lot of his tape, like he's usually like trapping the ball against his body, would never catch it with his hands. It just bothered me. It seemed like he had like rocks for hands. So I think it's the most overrated player of the Harbaugh era.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of nice to go through all these lists and to get like four different player or four different people's opinion on it, because like Ryan said about DPJ, like we're not calling DPJ a bad player. Like it's just, I think when we call someone overrated or underrated, a lot has to do with, you know, it has more to do with just the player itself. You know, did they mm-hmm. fit in the system? You know, did they have to deal with injuries and stuff like that? So I think all that stuff is on the table, you know, when calling someone overrated or underrated. So I think it was, those were some pretty good lists. I agree with pretty much everybody that was said. Moving on to this week's top 3. That was our last mailbag question. Thank you, Hot Take Empire. Your takes on Twitter lately have been, they've been something. So, but yeah, moving on to Empire. Yeah, they've been very fitting of his Twitter name. Let's put it that way. But top 3 of the week, top 3 favorite candy. Just to be clear, this isn't like just candy bars, right? This is just all candy. Like, are we all mm-hmm. clear on that? Like,
yeah.
All right, good. Just making sure. Top 3 candy. Ryan, let's hear your list.
So I have like too much of a sweet tooth, so it's kind of bad. But I'm going to go ahead and start off with something that's not so much on the sweet side. It's more on the sour side. So I'm going to go ahead and say Truly Sour Gummy Worms. Those are just my go-to, and that's my number one pick for like any candy. I think I said it for one of our past mailbag questions about what would you get at a gas station. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I definitely go with Truly Gummy Worms is my number one. My number two is probably going to be Twix, just the chocolate and caramel. I've always loved caramel. I've always loved chocolate. Those two things together, plus like a little cookie wafer, that's just my second favorite behind it. There's not much else I can say. And then Kit Kat. Kit Kat is something that's like really basic, but it's just something that I've grown to love over the past year. Like, I got way too many of them at summer camp this year, and I think that's where I hooked on them, because I got like 20 over the span of a week, which is really bad for you. Don't do that. But yeah, I think that's where I got into Kit Kats. But it's not good. Please don't do what I did. But it's just Kit Kats are my number three now, when it used to be like Milky Way or whatever.
I respect it. Justin, what's your list?
All right. So I think three, I'd go Sour Patch Kids.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like really the only like non-chocolate candy that I love. Just the blue ones especially, like they hit different, boys. And
all right, boys.
They taste like Voltage. It's like why I love them. I think the blue ones are especially really good, but all of them are great. Second, I think I would have Three Musketeers. Just like I love the nougat. I'm like Dustin in Stranger Things. Just like the nougat and Three Musketeers is so good. And then one is easy. It's Reese's Cups. Like, just there's nothing better than chocolate and peanut butter, and no one does that better than Reese's. So,
well, let me guess, Jacob, you hate candy too.
Yeah, you don't like.
I like candy.
Okay, all right. Let's hear your list.
I'm a big chocolate guy, so like all of my top three are chocolate related candies. So I'll have an honorable mention to my favorite non-chocolate candy, and those are Mike and Ike's. Oh, nice. I like those a lot. My third would be Twix. Twixes are just, you know, they're pretty good. I like the chocolate and caramel combo is amazing. Second, this is a truly underrated candy to have at a movie, Snow Caps. They're literally just chocolate chips with sprinkles on them, but they're amazing. And then my favorite is just M&M's. Everyone knows what M&M's are, but I love M&M's. So
that's a that was a very simple list. Mine is, so I had an honorable mention as well, which was also Mike and Ike. So up there. Number three, this is really weird. But I like am obsessed with those Lifesaver gummies. Like, they're so, I don't know why. I've always liked gummies, and I think that those are the best. So I'll say the Lifesaver gummies. Number two, Starburst, specifically pink Starburst. Pink's obviously the best. Like, there's really no debate when it comes to Starburst. If you don't think pink's the best, you're probably lying to yourself. And then number one, yeah, Reese's peanut butter cups. Like, I don't understand how that's not number one on every list. I don't get it. Yeah, it makes no sense. Jacob, why don't you like Reese's?
I'm allergic to nuts.
Oh, well, that could explain it. Ryan, wasn't Reese's not on your list either?
It wasn't, but they're definitely top 10 for me.
Wow. Yeah, so Justin, I agree with you there. Reese's belongs number one. That was super easy.
These bullshit reasons, like being allergic to nuts.
Yeah, Jacob, find a better reason. What are you allergic to? Carbonated water too?
Yeah,
I wish I was.
Well, all right, guys. Anyone else have anything to add?
Not really.
That's probably our shortest episode ever, which is a good thing. It was like 40 minutes. We wanted to keep it short. We're actually going to have a guest on next week. We're going to get back to having a guest on, so you guys can look forward to that. But with that top three list, episode 10, that's right, number 10 comes to a close. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Once again, please like and subscribe and leave a rating if you can. I'll end the show with a few shout outs like I always do. Shout out to Gino and Nico from the Fantasy Incline, not only for your voicemail question that you submitted, but also because they legit have a good podcast, and those two guys are good dudes. So if you like fantasy football, go check them out for sure. Shout out to Michael for doing all of our graphics. Mikey, you're the best. So we appreciate it. Shout out to Quentin. He is the best podcast editor on planet Earth. So keep doing your thing, Quentin. We appreciate it. Shout out to Justin for filling in the pod today. Justin, how was it? Did you have fun today?
Boys, it was great. Today hit different.
Today hit different?
Different.
Yeah, so I have a feeling Justin's going to be back on like a bunch, whether it's fill-in or a guest or just if we want another person on here. Last shout out, Lil Dicky. You're trying to save the planet. I shout you out at the end of every episode. We appreciate everything that you do, Lil Dicky. You know what? Let me throw in one more. Shout out to Tyler, T Will Season on Twitter. You're a legend. We all love you. So, yeah, be safe. Love and respect each other. Stop being racist. And as always, go blue.